Good afternoon, and welcome back to Intrepid Radio. I am your host, Todd Schneck. I'm looking forward to this conversation. This gentleman and I connected, I want to say probably 2-3 weeks ago now. And in the interim, I've had the pleasure of catching up to speed on what he's all about and seeing a lot of his writings and looking forward to a forthcoming book, which we are principally here to talk about today. Say hello to my guest, Jeff Shore. He is a speaker, author, and executive coach. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Todd. A pleasure to be here. Appreciate it.
The pleasure is mine, Jeff. Thanks for carving out a few minutes to join me. Before we get into a conversation around sales and what you're doing and this new book of yours, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Yeah, well, I bleed sales blood, I guess, first and foremost. Started in the real estate business and sold homes for many years, and then kind of climbed the corporate ladder with a large national home builder. I was the national sales director before I went out on my own about 15 years ago. And ever since then, I would say that that's really, while I've been doing a lot of training and coaching and speaking and writing, it's really just been an opportunity to study the sale. I think it's the sales process is just extremely fascinating. And I tell you, the longer I stay in this business, the more I realize how much I yet to have to learn in order to really understand the dynamics between a buyer and a seller.
Will we ever fully know that? I mean, isn't it the whole point of this is it's a constant evolution, a constant study?
I don't think we'll ever know it as long as there's more to learn about how the brain works, right? So, there's an argument to be said that when it comes to sales technique, it's that, you know, our understanding of sales technique is evolving at a fairly slow clip right now. Where the real strides are being made is just as we learn more about the brain and we apply that into that environment, that's what makes all the difference. So, yeah, no, from that perspective, this dialogue is going to go on for a long, long time.
All right. The new book is called Be Bold and Win the Sale. Get out of your comfort zone and boost your performance. Coming out in January 2014. Gosh, Jeff, let me just say this. Did the world really need another sales book? Why did you have to write this one?
That's a fantastic question. And it's from the perspective of if it was just another reheating of technique, no, I don't think that the world does need another sales book, to tell you the truth. But I do look at it from the perspective of us, of the journey. This is a legacy book for me. While I've written several books on technique, this is the book that has really consumed me personally and professionally for the last few years. Really starting with the idea, Todd, that I think we all have a little bit of this, but I've got these comfort addictions. I love all things comfortable. And in the last several years, I've been trying to systematically confront those addictions, recognizing that as long as I'm a victim of my own desire for comfort, then you know that living that bold life is really out of play. But as an extension of that, it's become clear to me, studying sales professionals, that the difference between a top professional and everybody else, it's not age, it's not experience, it's not intelligence, education, it's not even personality style. What it comes down to is how we deal with discomfort, which is one of the reasons why I think we hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm not good in sales, I just am not a good salesperson. I think what they're really saying is that they've got a comfort addiction that they don't know how to overcome.
Well, what exactly is a comfort addiction? I love the phrase.
Yeah, it's that part of us whenever we face a moment of discomfort in our life, and this is certainly, you know, my expertise is sales, but we could look at it across the board. It's like, you know, procrastination is a comfort addiction. Unhealthy eating is a comfort addiction. Certainly in the sales process, we see this on a regular basis, but every time we face a discomfort, we also have a decision to make. Every moment of discomfort is charged with this moment of decision. It's not whether I'm uncomfortable, it's what am I going to do about it? And the comfort addiction in me says, well, what's the easy thing? What's the comfortable thing? What's the path of least resistance? But the alternative decision is that bold decision, which is more difficult. I mean, admittedly, it is more difficult to do the bold thing. Although this really isn't a discussion on what's easy versus what's hard. It's a discussion on what's easy versus what is right. And I think our comfort addiction really drags us into these places where we get a little bogged down, really chasing our own desire for comfort.
Is the difference between a good salesman and a poor salesman that the good salesman is just fearless? Is it that simple?
It's a really, really great question. And in the research of the book, I had the opportunity to interview some of the best salespeople in different industries around the world. I talked to Rebecca Evans, who's one of the top salespeople for Mary Kay Cosmetics in the United States. That's a very competitive field, right? I talked to Alex Taba, the number one salesperson for Ferrari in the world. And I asked them this question, or a version of this question, Todd, where I asked them, tell me what this is like. Is it that top professionals face discomforts just like everybody else and they just handle them differently? Or is it more that top professionals just aren't that uncomfortable? And what was interesting is that from the position of these top professionals, they all came back to me and said, no, I'm just not that uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you, that panicked me a little bit because the premise of the book was that everybody's uncomfortable. And I'm thinking, great, I got to call McGraw-Hill and give them their advance back. But the further question said, were you ever uncomfortable? And in that case, a resounding yes, 100% of the time. It's just that top professionals learn how to embrace that discomfort, take it on as a challenge, master it, and move it into that comfortable spot. So what this teaches me, and what it was a big aha for me in this process, Todd, was that boldness is not an innate characteristic as much as it is a skill set that can be trained, that can be developed over time. And I think that's where top professionals are. They recognize that when they get that new discomfort, it also means that there's a new challenge, and a new challenge means a new growth opportunity.
Well, that's how people have to look at it, and I fear that too many salespeople don't, and they fear that rejection. Let me make it real clear here, Jeff. See, I cheat, okay? Uh-huh. And let me explain how I cheat. I'm uncomfortable with sales, and I'm uncomfortable with the process of identifying an opportunity, saying, John Smith, CEO of Acme, he would be a good customer for me. And so what I fear, I'm being very general here for purposes of this conversation, when they say, okay, well, I'm gonna cold call this guy. I'm gonna find his number, I'm gonna start calling the guy and saying, hey, can I get 15 minutes of your time to pitch you how I can help you improve your efficiency and reduce costs and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. That makes me very uncomfortable. It's a miserable process that I dread, and I procrastinate everything I can do if I have to do that. But I don't do it, because what I do is I've invented this process of mine where I now invite John Smith, CEO of Acme, to be a guest on a radio show of mine. And that's a much less threatening way for me to reach out to this guy and get connected to him. That's how I do it. And then by virtue of that conversation, I've advanced my relationship and become friends with the fellow, and have developed some trust and some rapport. And now it's so much easier to transition into a sales conversation. But that's how I've broken that code for me. Talk about some strategies on how other people can get out of this and how they deal with this discomfort they feel with sales.
Sure. Well, I think what you're addressing here is the question of what is boldness. You know, the title of the book is Be Bold and Win the Sale. But what is boldness? I think the problem is that we have this image in our mind. Dan Pink, who was good enough to be interviewed for the book, in his book, To Sell as Human, which is a fantastic read, but in his book, he talks about this image that people have about sales and about salespeople. And the idea here is that sales is all about this guy in a plaid jacket and white shoes and the medallions and what's it going to take to get you? And that the business of sales is to sit in a cubicle somewhere and pound out numbers off of a screen and trying to connect to just one phone call out there. And we've got this almost this caricature of what a professional salesperson is, although when we think about it individually, and Todd, I'm going to guess that you're probably going to be right with me on this, when we think about a salesperson that we know, that we really respect, they don't match that caricature at all, right? We've got this cartoon image of what a salesperson is and what a salesperson does. So I'm not one who's going to sit here and suggest to you that boldness is about being abrasive or intrusive or aggressive or bothering people until they agree to have a conversation. I would suggest that that's quite the opposite. In the book, we talk very specifically about something called humble boldness or servant boldness. Boldness is really about doing the right thing in the best interest of that customer. So I go to John Smith, who's the CEO of Acme, and I ask the question, well, what would he rather do? Would he rather field a phone call where I'm going to ask him if I can have 15 minutes of his time just to pitch the product, even though I don't really know what his issues are? Or would he rather talk to somebody that he has a relationship with, and in this case, or invite him on my radio show and do it that way? In this case, it passes the test because it's in the best interest of the client to be able to handle them that way. Is that making sense, Todd?
Makes perfect sense. Is it fair to say that the book could also be called Be Confident and Win the Sale? I mean, I'm not saying cocky. I'm not saying be full of attitude, but a confidence has such an impact on sales. And does a prospect, does someone you're trying to reach, do they respond favorably to someone who just appears confident, knowledgeable, and comfortable in their own skin, and that the world's not going to end if I don't want to talk to them?
Well, there's no doubt that people gravitate towards confidence. They pay for confidence. I mean, look, I know you've got, in your past, a political background. You saw that happen firsthand. That confidence is so powerful to try and draw people in. The question is, how do I get to the point where, A, the confidence is used in a way to serve other people, and B, the confidence doesn't slip into arrogance? Because I just think we've got it's getting more and more difficult to let that arrogance slip by. But the confidence is absolutely critical. That begs the question, well, what is confidence based on? And in my opinion, it's mastery on the one side, but boldness on the other. So, you know, if I really understand what it is that I'm doing, I know my craft, I'm very good at it over here, and then I'm bold over here to want to do the uncomfortable things, then collectively, I have that humble confidence that really is appealing to people. I think that they want to be a part of that.
When you say mastery, do you mean in sales technique, in understanding my product, or understanding the human I'm trying to interact with across the table? Or all that?
Right. It really is a collective of all of those things. When we look at mastery, it is that side that says I gain confidence because I know my product better than anyone else. I gain confidence because I know my prospect better than anyone else. I gain confidence because I understand the process of need discovery and to be able to take them through this process. I'd say it's an across the board opportunity that no salesperson will ever truly say that they've got it down solid. Because as I mentioned earlier, how much are we still learning about how the brain works? And every time we learn something new about the brain, it should have an effect on the sales presentation.
You mentioned sales process earlier, and it's riddled throughout this conversation. I have a business partner who's a crusty old sales process engineering guy, and we've had this debate and argument, friendly debate and argument, for years now. I want to talk to you about how you see process. I worry that when you engrave this official sales process into granite on the little wall, and you hold a gun to your sales agent's head and say, follow this process, that takes the humanness out of everything, and then that makes it a chore I gotta follow this thing step by step, and I worry that it takes the human side out of sales, which to me is everything about it. Half the time I don't follow any particular clear technique, and I don't read a book that says here's the 7-step process to close a deal, and I interact with the human being, and every interaction I'm undergoing at this moment with everybody in my funnel, it's unfolding differently. How rigid does a process have to be for it to be effective before it becomes so rigid that it causes that discomfort we've been talking about?
Right. Well, it is something that you and I have both seen over time, where you try and do something because it's been handed to you and somebody has said, here, do this way. Well, that's all well and good, except for my prospect, my customer's not standing in front of me at the time. As soon as I enter in that variable, it sort of changes things a little bit, right? It looked good on paper. It looked good when we drew it up on the board, but you put that customer in front of you, now everything changes. But I would suggest that there's got to be some sort of a roadmap, even though the road could be closed and I got a detour around, but I have to have some idea where I'm going. From my perspective then, and I address this, it's one entire section of the book, I address this very thoroughly, not from the perspective of here's step A, step B, step C, just follow these through, but rather how do you have a framework in your mind to really understand how a customer buys? Because that's ultimately the way that I want to sell, right? I want to sell the way a customer buys. So I have over the years developed, and I'll just share with it, a very simple formula that we can apply to every single prospect, because it really is it spells out the way that they're going to make a decision. People will buy when their current dissatisfaction times the future promise is greater than their cost plus fear. So current dissatisfaction in what's wrong with my life right now that needs to be improved in the first place, otherwise I would not be a prospect, times the future promise and whether or not that solution looks like it's good for me in my situation. Those two things multiplied together have to exceed the cost and the fear, those inhibitors, those drawbacks that prevent me from moving forward. So I would suggest here to a sales professional then that your process of discovery, your process of demonstration, your process of overcoming objections, they all have to fall under that banner of understanding. You see, the formula is not my formula, it's that prospect's formula. And I need to understand how each of those three components fit together. It doesn't matter how shiny and beautiful my product is, if the customer has nothing wrong with their life that needs to be improved, they're going to ignore me all day long. And it doesn't matter if they've got a serious problem over here, if my solution is not going to apply. And even still, both of those things could work in tandem quite well, but if it's cost prohibitive or if it's just too scary to make the change, it's not going to happen either. So I certainly agree with what you're saying, Todd, in regards to that overly structured, scripted, memorize this and say it word for word. I'm well beyond that, and I think more and more companies are moving away from that. But I do suggest that you've got to have some method of understanding the position that your prospect is in.
Well, see, I'm much more comfortable with the idea of a framework than a process. Maybe some people would say, well, that's the same thing, but I see those as very, very different. And I'm much more comfortable with the idea of a rough framework with which to guide general direction. So I'm good with that. Hey, Jeff, at the top of the show, you said, I bleed sales blood. And I suspect there's a lot of people in direct sales that would probably say, well, I don't really bleed sales blood because for whatever reason. Can anyone be in sales? And it's an important question because I do believe that we all are in sales in some way, shape, or form. I mean, even if you're trying to convince Mrs. Schnick at night, like I have to do on what TV show to watch, and that's sales, you know, or arguing what movie to see or what fast food joint to stop at. You're always selling, if you will, but talk about that. I mean, is everybody capable of being in sales?
Yes, I absolutely believe that that's the case. And by the way, that there are people listening right now who are going to say, no, absolutely not. And I recognize that there's room for healthy debate on that topic. But to me, there's an underlying issue of core values here and what's important to you. So, for example, I am, and this might surprise people, but I'm something of an introvert in regards to how I like to spend my time and where I get my energy. I don't do cocktail parties very well. That's not my thing. But and so for me to suddenly in a big crowd of people make a big announcement and start talking to people that I don't know, it's not going to happen. Except for the time when my daughter was 5 years old and I lost her at the Children's Discovery Museum in San Jose, California. And I got to tell you, just a sea of people, and I was panicked. Has she been taken? What's going on with her right now? And it starts off as a little bit of, hey, where's Emily? And then pretty soon it's like, excuse me, hey, everybody, look, I'm looking for a little girl. She's 5. She has curly hair. Her name is Emily. Will somebody help me with this? Now, what's the key here? I'm doing something that I find radically uncomfortable. Why? Because of the core value of what was at stake. Can anybody be in sales? Yes, they can. If they believe in what they are doing and it's important enough to them, then they will overcome their discomfort. I think it really does come down to the comfort addiction that says, oh, you know what? I don't really want to talk to people who don't want to talk to me, and I might get that rejection. I think these are all just comfort addictions. That's all it is. But if I really wanted to do this right, I would attack the discomfort first, not the technique first. I've got to get that. I've got to tame that discomfort addiction or that comfort addiction if I'm going to have any shot of wanting to have a successful career in sales.
You mentioned that you were an introvert, and I would define myself as an introvert too. It surprises people when I'm on radio for most of my career that I would call myself an introvert. You mentioned Dan Pink, To Sell Is Human, and he talked at length about this idea of, well, extroverts and introverts, the hardcore, right, far on either side of the spectrum are poor salesmen. You need to be an ambivert or have. Do you agree with that idea?
I do. I don't know that Dan Pink ever said this, but I think that there is sort of a situational extroversion, a situational introversion. But I do think that that's right. If you're too much of an introvert, it's difficult to have any conversation at all. If you're too much of an extrovert, that's old school, that just doesn't fly. So yeah, no, I thought that was very insightful on Dan Pink's part to look at the idea of an ambivert. And as I've talked to that with salespeople, they're with me. They get it. And it's, no, look, part of it depends on what you define sales as and what your role is. So, you know, if you're selling mops at the county fair with a little boom mic and you're barking at people, you probably don't want an introvert or even an ambivert in that position. At that point, it would make sense that you're looking for somebody who's extremely outgoing. But I did an interview for the book with Nancy Ankiewicz, who wrote the book Self-Promotion for Introverts, which right from the very beginning is sort of an oxymoronic title. But she believed that that introverts could make the very best salespeople because there's so much about the customer and so much about what they need to know rather than what they need to share.
I want to wrap with a discussion around this idea of boldness. Now, I fully endorse the idea of being bold. After all, I named my company, my blog, this show after Intrepid. I want people to be intrepid, so I get that. You know, you talk about feeling discomfort, Jeff. I also understand that there are a lot of people out there that fear success. That, oh gosh, what if I succeed, and what does that mean? Can I handle it? Do I have the capacity to deal with that kind of success? Talk about what's at stake here. What happens to you if you in fact go out there full throttle and live the bold life?
There's no question. It's such a fascinating topic. Fear of success sounds like, you know, most people look at you as sort of at a puzzle, you know, that little comic book question mark over your head. What do you mean by that? But I think that this has to do with the idea of really how we envision where we are going, and the lack of clarity in what we want to accomplish in the first place will lead to a whole host of issues. But I think the greatest issue you're going to deal with is that you're going to fear success because you don't really know what your life is going to look like. You don't get that that mental vision in your brain right from the very start. So I do think that a big part of trying to build what I call the boldness muscle is to try and look at it and get that idea of where you're going to be. So the perfect example here is for somebody who looks at it and says, you know what, I've decided I need to get in shape, I'm going to give myself a goal, and I want to run a marathon. Well, good for you, that's all great, but that's a pretty ambitious goal if you're not doing any running right now. So you can look at it one way, or two different ways. You can look at it and say, well, I'm going to start to walk 5 minutes a day, and I'm going to build up from there, and that's fine. But I would suggest that you would be much better served by really getting into that mental framework of what a marathon runner is like. If I decided today that I wanted to run a marathon and I'm not a runner, the first thing I would do is go talk to people who run marathons and get that framework very, very clear so that I have that understanding of what success looks like. When I go out, I talk to people who have gone before me and done the things that I want to do, it helps me to clarify. Now what I get to do is I get to plan that goal from the position of having already accomplished it, when it sort of looks like, oh yeah, well, I'm already here. Now what are the steps that I took to get here? Versus planning the goal from the front side of it when it still looks like this big hairy beast. So yeah, but that too, fear of success, is a comfort addiction, because I'll look at it and I'll go, well, I don't really know what that is. It's a little undefined, seems a little scary. I'll stay where I'm at. That is a comfort addiction.
Yeah, now that you say that, it absolutely is. Well, Jeff, I hate to say it, we're out of time for this show, though methinks our paths will cross again soon. So I look forward to continuing our dialogue over the coming years. Jeff, before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you? Where can they learn about your work? And most importantly, where can they get their hands on this book?
Yeah, thank you very much. All available through jeffshore.com. The book's for sale, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and everywhere else, but go to jeffshore.com for all of the updates and the newsletter and the Facebook and the standard bill of fare, jeffshore.com.
All right, Jeff Shore, speaker, executive coach, and the author of Be Bold and Win the Sale. Get out of your comfort zone and boost your performance. Jeff, my friend, it was great to get you on the show. I appreciate you making time. I learned a lot.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Well, that wraps this episode. On behalf of my guest, Jeff Shore, I'm Todd Schneck. We'll see you soon on Intrepid Radio. What you want? What you want?
You
have been listening to Intrepid Radio, hosted by me, Todd Schnick. You can find the show at intrepidradioshow.com. If you enjoyed the broadcast, kindly leave a rating and review on iTunes. Until next time, stay bold, and I'll see you soon on the Intrepid Radio Show.